Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Dustin, I'm going to say that Ari today is wearing a shirt, but I'm going to say it's sleeveless. Ari, can you confirm or deny?
No shirt right now.
He's really taken to the no shirt thing, D-Fox.
Yeah, I mean, I live in an environment where it's 40 degrees outside, which is pretty cold for Texas, but my girlfriend has to have the house at 73 degrees, and I feel like I'm going to pass out 100% of the time. So I'm just going to do what I can, you know what I mean?
Are we buying that, D-Fox, or is it more about him wanting to show off the physique?
I'll buy that. Are you feeling better, by the way, buddy? You feeling okay?
Whoa. Yeah, you know, now that it's all out there, I had some mild symptoms for 3 days from COVID and then was asymptomatic for the other 12 while I was stuck in my bedroom quarantining. So, like, the worst part about it was being stuck in one room, and the symptoms, thankfully, didn't really get much of a hold on me. So I appreciate you asking, and I'm negative now and hopefully have some antibodies and can maybe just avoid getting sick now for the next 3 or 4 months, hopefully.
Well, the good news is you had some college hoops to you know, watch or slash wink, wink, watch during the days here, the last couple of days.
Yeah, that's what got me through the hoops.
In Maction, of course. Go ahead, Chico. Sorry, buddy.
No, that's all right. I know you guys like a little action. Nothing wrong with that.
We like action.
Ari, in terms of the rankings coming out tonight, I think we're pretty certain that the 1 through 4 should remain the same: Alabama, Notre Dame, Clemson, Ohio State. I'm just curious, do you feel like Alabama has separated a little bit, or do you think this is a pretty tight bunch? How do you view the 1 through 4 if, in fact, it stays the same?
Yeah, I think right now Alabama's probably separated. The thing I'm most interested in is where they rank the fourth team. I don't know that it's 100% going to be Ohio State. And I don't know that they would move them down preemptively based on what they might not play here in the next few weeks. But I think we're going to learn a lot tonight in terms of where Ohio State stands in their mind. Last week they thought that Ohio State was the better football team than Texas A&M and Florida. And, you know, Florida went out and got another win. And, you know, it's kind of a weird situation right now. And I know we're probably going to get to this on the show, but I don't know that it's guaranteed that Ohio State's 4. I wouldn't be surprised if they were, but I wouldn't be surprised if they weren't. So, you know, that's something to monitor. I think it's pretty clear that Alabama right now seems to be the most complete team in the country. Yeah, Notre Dame and Clemson.
Ari,
Ohio State.
There we go. Breaking up a little bit, Ari. But
I am. I'm connected to Wi-Fi, guys. What's going on?
Maybe you should put a shirt on, for God's sake.
Can you not hear me?
No, we got you now. We got you now.
Now we can. We got you. Go ahead.
I'll just start in the middle of where I thought you might have lost me. But the interesting thing right now is what they're going to do with Ohio State. They've got Notre Dame and Clemson bunched together, although Alabama seems to be the clear number one. But Clemson's lost a game and was still ahead of them last week. And I think that's more so because they played more games than it is the fact that they looked that much better. So the last game that Clemson played going into the weekend was a loss, and they were still ahead of Ohio State. So what they do with these teams gives us a little clue into how they view them from a week-to-week basis, and I'm not necessarily sure about the top four cemented.
So when the top four comes out tonight, We think it stays exactly the same. Is there a chance they could just drop Ohio State out because they didn't play this past weekend?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a chance that Ohio State could be 5. I mean, Florida's looking really good right now. And, you know, if you ask me who I think are the 4 best teams in college football right now, I think that Ohio State's certainly in that conversation. But Florida's gaining steam every week that they put up a bunch of points and look good. So, I mean, is it possible that they could put Florida in at number 4? Absolutely. Last week, Clemson was ranked ahead of Ohio State with a loss. And what was the reason for that? Because they looked so much better than them or because they played more games? I think that there's going to be a factor here of how many games do you play and how much does that enhance your resume? And right now, a loss, especially a good loss, because Florida's loss is to Texas A&M, might not necessarily count against you as much as not playing. So it's definitely going to be a mess when it comes to putting the Final Four in, and Ohio State's current issue with the coronavirus isn't going to be the last. There's a lot to unpack there in terms of how you compare resumes when there isn't a finite or there isn't a consistent number of games that you're going to be comparing against the two. But I think right now, despite the fact that Ohio State, if you have eyes, is clearly one of the 4 best teams in college football, there is some concern for Ohio State fans in terms of how this is all going to shake out in the playoff race.
Ari Wasserman covers the college football scene for The Athletic, joins us here on the hotline. All right, Ari, I posed a hypothetical to Dustin earlier. Let's fast forward to the actual playoffs and you know, the 2 games and national championship. Right before we're getting ready to play the semifinals, much kind of like we're facing in the NFL here, let's say we have star players go down. Let's say Justin Fields or Trevor Lawrence all of a sudden has COVID 2 days before the game. Do you think the NCAA would say, oh, wait a minute, we're going to wait and we'll postpone the game until those guys are ready? I mean, I think they would look at it differently than the NFL could or would, but I'm just curious what you think.
You know, that's a really tough scenario. I mean, it's hard enough to try to get through week to week trying to figure out where to rank these teams, let alone how to behave. I don't know if once they get to the playoff, they bubble these teams for 2 weeks and let them, you know, practice and prepare so that they're safeguarded from that, or, you know, how they're going to handle that. But, you know, if you have a Justin Fields or one of your best players is out for that game, it's going to have an impact on what happens in the game. And, you know, be injured at any practice, and that's part of the game, and maybe that's how they'll view it. I don't know how to handle that. I hope that, you know, there would be some process of fielding the best teams in college football and let them be full speed so they can compete. But I also hope that's a prevailing thought when it comes to how they manage these conference championship games. I mean, we're talking about Ohio State right now potentially not even getting to play in the Big Ten championship. So if we're going to talk about legitimizing champions and, you know, doing things the right way and using our eyes and our hearts to understand how to make this the most competitive and most entertaining and most importantly, most real playoff situation, then it starts even before you get to the playoff. I think it starts right now and how you change rules, alter the calendar, and do things to make sure that these teams are in best position to compete at the highest level, because that's what everybody wants, right? I mean, these kids wanted to play, and they could have not played if they didn't want to, but everybody wanted to play. The coaches wanted to coach. Everybody knew the risks involved in this. But if you were going to go forward in a situation where you have unpaid athletes who are playing this game and TV revenue going through the roof as a result of them playing this game, and the least that you can do by them is to create rules or put things in place in terms of protocols to promote the best versions of themselves to compete at the highest level. And if that means postponing games or moving them back or changing the schedule or changing rules, you have to do that to put everybody in the best spot. We didn't just go through all this to watch Indiana play Minnesota or whatever team from the Northwestern in the Big Ten championship game, when everybody knows the best team in the Big Ten is Ohio State.
Ari Wasserman is with us talking some college football from The Athletic. Ari, you know, there have been a couple firings already this season, which is kind of crazy for a year that doesn't count. It's a pandemic. You know, Vanderbilt lets go of Derek Mason. Will Muschamp let go at South Carolina? There may be others that follow. I mean, you look at Michigan, I don't know that they'll fire Franklin after this one season at Penn State, but it's not been a good year for them. They got a bounce back win this week. What do you make of, you know, Penn State, Michigan, some of these schools that are really struggling during the pandemic?
I think that this is not surprising at all. You know, this is a business, and yeah. I don't know how much people think that Michigan or Penn State's issues or Vanderbilt's issues or South Carolina's issues were based on the pandemic. Everybody is dealing with the same circumstances here. You know, So I know it's about PR and doing the right thing and not making major changes during a really year where things aren't normal. But, you know, if you ask me, all things considered, the problems that the programs or that we're talking about making changes at or have been making changes had serious issues that are unrelated to the coronavirus. And, you know, in a certain situation, you have to make the changes to best, you know, fit your program and the growth of your long-term, you know, vision. And at those places right now, I don't know that that's happening. I don't think that anybody can sit back and say in Michigan that the coronavirus is the reason why their team is 1-5 or whatever they are. That team has given up. They have a lack of talent when competing with the highest teams, and that hasn't even come into play because they've lost to worse teams. Is that because of COVID, or is something wrong fundamentally with the coaching staff? Say it's the second thing. So in terms of all the things that have to go into play to make these changes and to pay these buyouts and to move forward, I don't think that COVID is going to be a big deterrent the way that people thought. Who's going to fire a coach in the middle of the pandemic? A lot of teams are, and I think more are coming.
Yeah.
All right, along those same lines, we'll get you out of here with this, Ari. You tackled this in the mailbag, and it's like clockwork now. Every time we start, you know it's coming. The openings, what about Urban Meyer? Urban Meyer going to Texas?
I heard he bought a house in Austin. I heard his wife.
His wife is eyeing property in Austin, and that's what I saw.
That's what I saw. Okay.
Before we get into how, if he took the Texas job, how it would affect recruiting for Ohio State and all that, do you even think Urban Meyer is seriously entertaining ideas of getting back in?
I don't. And the thing that is kind of frustrating about this conversation is that there's only one person on earth, or maybe two, if you talk about his wife, that know what's going on here, and that would be Urban. And I think Urban enjoys being coveted, and who wouldn't? And I think that it's nice to hear your name pop up on these coaching searches and thinking about the opportunities that he could have. I don't think he's really in a position right now to do that. Just an educated guess, having covered the man for almost a decade, I think that, you know, he's got a really good life right now. And, you know, when he left the Florida job and he took the sabbatical, and then he ended that sabbatical really quickly when the Ohio State job opened, that was because it was a dream job scenario for him at a place that doesn't have job openings very often. And he had to jump at that. He had to leave his sabbatical early, and he had to take that job because he didn't want to risk going another 10 or 15 years without that opening coming available. And we've heard the Texas rumors. We've heard the USC rumors. And even though those jobs seem like they'd be great opportunities, those aren't once-in-a-lifetime jobs for him. You know, he's 56 years old. He's not old enough to have to jump at a job and fight the clock. He could take a job when Texas opens up again and when he's 60, or when USC opens up again when he's 60. Like, there's nothing here that makes him to have to say, you know what, I'm going to go do this right now. This is a health situation. This is a desire situation. And this is a lifestyle situation. And right now, maybe he has this beating need for competitiveness in his chest, and he is really excited about the potential of coaching at one of these schools. But as far as I can tell, why would you leave Ohio State, a place that you put your heart and soul into building up and recruiting these classes and putting together national championship caliber roster, only to leave for a year or two and then have to go start over again somewhere else? And granted, he might like the program building portion of his job. He's very, really good at it. You know, there's no question about that. But he had it built. So why go do the most stressful part of the job somewhere else in a place that you're not from and have no, like, tie to? I think there's reasons you can for him to consider that. You know, there's certainly worse things to do than being the head coach at a major program like Texas. But when you really start to step back and think about how he got the situation, why do that, I don't necessarily think it really adds up.
Ari, appreciate the time as always. Now, it's kind of weird to say this as we're approaching maybe a foot of snow on the ground in some parts of Cleveland, but stay cool there in Dallas, Texas, and in your apartment where your girlfriend has apparently turned the heat up so high you have to go
shirtless.
Well, here's
the thing. Can I say one thing before you let me go?
Go ahead.
Just because it's really cold outside doesn't mean that you have to change the comfortable temperature inside. If you're comfortable at 69 or 70 degrees in the summer, then that's the same temperature that you're comfortable inside in the winter. So just because it's 12 degrees outside doesn't mean it has to be 77 inside. Just make it 69 like, oh, you know, it's still warm. I think that these places in my home and other stores and the mall and wherever else you go overcompensates with the heat, and it's overbearing inside, and that is my rant of the day.
You need to present that case to your girlfriend.
Listen, I keep my – my house is, whether it's the middle of summer or the middle of winter, it's going to be 67 degrees at all times.
Yeah, I'm moving in.
You've already told me you're moving in.
I used to open up the window in the middle of the winter.
I'm waiting for you to move in. You got an extra bedroom.
All right, guys. Appreciate you.
Oh, my.
All right, buddy.
All right, thanks for the time, buddy. Appreciate it. Boy, that would be – now that would be something.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.